Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gospel Fuel podcast. And this is the midweek refill portion of the podcast where we, every week, take a section of our yearly reading plan here at First Family Church, and we just pull out a little nugget from someone on staff that they found that week in the reading, just to encourage you to continue to stay in God's Word throughout your week. You'll probably recognize I am not Tanner Battles. He is out this week, so I'm guest hosting. My name's Brett. I'm on staff here at First Family, and I've got Pastor Todd with me, and we are going to dive into some of the reading in week 26.
Week 26 is 1 Timothy. Glad I could be a part of the guest hosting. I'm not on here very much either, so yeah, it's fun to be on this. I love the emphasis that the midweek refill brings as far as just staying in our Bibles. Julie and I are doing the New Testament reading plan this year, and so 1 Timothy is where we are for this week, and I have been really, I'm not sure I'm ready to say all this on this podcast.
But hot take.
You want to dive right into the 8 feet section?
Yeah, for sure.
1 Timothy 4, it opens with an interesting set of verses that I think describes a lot of people in our community, and I don't think they realize that. Hmm. Here's what it says. So we're going to jump right in.
Yep.
You'll probably like this. The Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. One translation says doctrines of demons. Through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. Here's those demonic doctrines and deceitful spirits. Here's what they say. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods that God created to be received by gratitude. So I got to thinking about that. Like that, those two things really characterize Catholicism, mm-hmm. which is probably the main religion, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
Even within our city.
Mm-hmm.
They just elected a new pope, you know, recently as well. Got a lot of attention that way. But here's what's so ironic. I think, and I have some Catholic friends, in fact, a couple that I'm pretty good friends with. We talk about it at times. I don't know if they would even know that that's what their church, use that word loosely there,
mm-hmm.
actually believes, that they believe doctrines from demons, that forbidding marriage and demanding abstinence from certain foods, which is what they do. They do both of those within yeah. their leadership, and certain times of the year you have to eat certain things. You can't eat other things.
Yeah, they forbid their pastors, the people caring for the people from marrying.
Yeah, you're right. And so it's just interesting that as I read that, I thought, wow, right here in our own city are those doctrines of demons, things from deceitful spirits, and yet the people under that delusion, deceived by that, probably don't even know that. And that's just two of the things. That's not even counting things like they consider Mary, and this is their dogma. I don't know, again, I don't think a lot of my Catholic friends would even know this. Mm-hmm. I'll share a story about that in a minute. But they also believe Mary's a co-redemptor. So there's someone equal to Christ in the redemptive work. They consider the Pope the vicar of Christ. It's heresy. So these are just two things, but it really made me think again this week, like, wow, this isn't just another church. These mm-hmm. are lost people who need Jesus. Yeah. So it's a pretty hot take there, I guess. I don't know, but you're jumping right in.
You probably don't want to greet a Catholic neighbor and say, oh, you go to the demonic church.
No, you
That's
don't.
It's probably not going to go great. But I think it is a good reminder of how do you engage with people in the community to win for Christ. And also take seriously the error of the church that they go to.
Because mm-hmm.
and that's sometimes a good way to it's put easy it. To conflagrate that and make it be like, kind of be like, well, you're the problem. They're not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making these decisions. They're not even probably involved or even know. But sometimes we can, you know, maybe portray the frustration or what we believe about the big Catholic church onto people, our neighbors, who aren't even aware, and it doesn't always go great. So that's definitely not a winsome way to approach people. So how would you approach someone who is a Catholic, but they're not making decisions for Catholic doctrine?
Right. And they're not even aware probably that some of their doctrines are referred to in this manner and are in this category.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the idea of Mary being a co-redemptor and those kinds of things. Well, you know what I want to say is I'll always start with a good question. And so I have a few Catholic friends that I've actually ask this question, and it usually revolves around their works. They're usually very good citizens. They work hard because they know that's part of their salvation process. And so I'll just talk about or ask about, how's that going? Or do you think you're at the line yet, or you've got enough works? And of course, you know, that usually generates a laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're not even sure how to express it. But when I do say, well, so your works don't matter then? You're not really concerned about it? No, they matter, they'll say. And so that is the conversation I'm looking to have.
Yeah.
In that conversation, I usually say, I'd love to sit down with you sometime and just talk about what your church believes. I'd love to learn more. And here's what I've gotten. I've only had one accept that. The other ones have told me this. Well, let me bring one of my deacons, because I'm not sure I can express to you what my church believes.
Hmm.
I mean, these are people in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so one guy that he said this to me, I said, you know, let's just have lunch. And I didn't want to get into a debate with his deacon in front of him. I wasn't looking for that. We still had lunch together. But he said, I can't talk to you about this because I don't know if I can express what my church believes. And that right there is alarming. So I said to him, does that bother you? He goes, yeah, a little bit. So I don't know if that answers your question. That's how I engage. But in that lunch, if I can, or in the further conversation, I might bring this verse up and say, you know, the Bible describes your system of religion in a pretty intense way. Have you ever seen that verse?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to ask someone, like, just straight up, like, so in the Bible, which you claim to believe, Catholics claim the Bible, it says it's demonic to forbid marriage. How then is that okay in the Catholic Church?
And that's a question that I just think questions are great. So you could ask that kindly, and then they're having to figure out what their answer is.
How do you jump around that?
Like, yeah.
And it's not, I feel like that's not a very attacking question. Like, it's not attacking them. Like, why do you forbid marriage? So it's a heavy question. Anytime you talk about demonic stuff, it's a pretty heavy question, but it might have some like third party deniability that you're not asking them to answer for something that they've done.
Right.
Just hearing you talk about that, it's a good reminder that like sometimes it's easy. You have neighbors and on the surface people, you know, you meet them, you invite them to church, maybe VBS, and they're like, oh, I go to the Catholic Church. They equate it all. And I think sometimes in our lives, it's easy to fall into that trap too. Of like, oh, well, they already go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that they're just as lost as most likely, they're just as lost as everyone else. And that shouldn't like lull us to sleep to see those people won for Christ.
You know, you heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt, but familiarity also breeds comfort. And that's what happens with false teaching. If you're around it long enough, you begin to get comfortable and you begin to gradually think, well, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it's maybe not false. And so if you're new to something, you might actually accept it. And you're right. It's actually a damning system of beliefs because it includes not only works, but it nullifies grace. And then the other thing, it is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're around it in our part of the country, in our part of this—
In Ankeny.
Ankeny. It's a strong Catholic area. And so you can get comfortable, like you said. But if you'll notice, very few Catholics will ever say to you they're a Christian. They'll say to you, if you ask them, are you a Christian? They'll say, no, I'm Catholic. And there's a reason for that. And what I found helpful is when I asked that question and they said, well, I'm Catholic, I would say, well, why do you give a different answer? And they'll give you their answer. But it does lead to more conversation, which is good. And I think it's very helpful to realize what you said. Our goal isn't to antagonize them personally. But I'm not going to be afraid to call out that system of beliefs because it is an undermining of grace and is demonic in its foundation. It's wrong in a number of ways.
Yeah, this is just two that are listed here. And I don't think that's not in view in the text. Catholicism wasn't a thing yet. We're just able to, you know, whatever that deceitful teaching was at the time, it's similar to what they're doing now. And Satan, I guess, has been probably using the same tactics to undermine genuine biblical teaching for a long time.
And boy, there's a point there, isn't there? Like, we are not the first to deal with false teaching.
Yeah. Well, if anything, church, I hope this is just encouraging to you not to go out and argue with Catholics, but to see people around you. I guarantee everyone in our church knows at least one Catholic. To see them as people who need Jesus and to engage with them in a way that's winsome, but yet not backing down from what the Bible clearly says is true about what they believe.
And I want to say on the heels of that, some of our best pro-life friends are Catholics. they are some of the best people at standing for pro-life issues. And I often will do sidewalk advocacy at Planned Parenthood centers. We did the one in Ankeny, and we shut that one down. This was years ago. And I was there with many Catholics who were unashamed and unafraid. And I love that about them. But that's not what gets us to heaven, you know. So it is a thing we have to balance loving people and appreciating the person and yet having the courage to say what you believe theologically is wrong and here's why. And so I hope even people have heard this podcast without thinking that we're not trying to create an enemy, but we are first and foremost loyal to the scriptures.
Yeah. And like it says in the New Testament, am I your enemy now that I tell you the truth? And so that's kind of the posture we want to have with people that we love. I love you, so I got to tell you. It would be unloving of me to just pretend like you go to a Catholic church, I go to a Christian church, and it's the same.
You're right. And we want to say it in the right way, though, at the right time, with the right tone.
Yeah, but to avoid it is, first of all, ignoring this passage and not loving the people that are around us.
Yeah.
All right, church. Well, it's probably a little longer this week, but it probably could have been even longer knowing us two.
It sure could have. And maybe even more intense.
Right. So we will see you next week on the Gospel Fuel Podcast.